Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are doing a running back rundown here for week three. Go through all 32 teams, so let's get it going. I already did tight end position, so you can check that out as well. Here we go. 41 minutes on running backs, or on tight ends, just like no one asked for. So fun stuff there. All right, here we go. James Conner, 50 of 83 snaps. Ran half the routes, 13 of 19 running back carries. He's the lead back. Eno Benjamin played 22 snaps to 14 for Darrell Williams. 13 routes for Benjamin, 10 for Williams, 5 carries for Benjamin, 1 for Darrell Williams. I think it's fine to float Darrell Williams back. Like, I thought that there was a chance that maybe he was going to win a running back injury away job. He has not done that. This has been Eno Benjamin's job. It's been Eno Benjamin's job all offseason. And it was Eno Benjamin's job basically until last week when they split carries. I don't think I'm going to get to a spot where I feel comfortable playing Darrell Williams. So if James Conner is going to be back, I think we cycle back and maybe add Darrell Williams as an injury away guy then. But as of right now, I think you're okay to float Darrell Williams back to address other potential situations. We'll get to them in a minute. Atlanta, Cordarrelle Patterson, 17 for 141 and a touchdown. Big 40-yard run. I love Atlanta. So some good stuff there. A bunch of my favorite players, Cordarrelle Patterson and Drake London. By the way, wait until we get to the Drake London aspect of the receiver show. Only one carry for Tyler Allgeier, so that's been like I wouldn't. we're talking about prop bets and that sort of stuff. Like I've been dabbling in it. the second running back prop for Atlanta, like they don't do this, but like it would be all over the place. Like I'd have zero idea how to bet it from week to week. Like it can be 17 carries for Patterson 1 week and one backup running back carry, and then next week it can be like 10 Cordarrelle Patterson carries and like 14 backup running backs split between three different guys. Like either of those two things is possible, and I don't think it's possible to predict on any given week. I will say Cordarrelle Patterson, like if he can sort of do this, if he can sort of maximize this, 15 plus carries and basically run half the routes, totally usable. He's a top 10 running back right now. Again, like ahead of Jonathan Taylor. So this is a pretty good performance, only one target. I think he has the ability to sustain this. However, like we need to get him basically half the receiving yards or half the receiving game stuff. You know, a little bit more would be nice. But if we can sort of stay right around this aspect and not get eaten away too much in the receiving game, I think he's fine. Like I think he can play. And again, if he plays 17 games, he's going to finish as a top 12 running back. All right, Dobbins, first game back, 26 snaps, 28 for Justice Hill. Kenyon Drake was an official inactive, so that's notable. So I think one of the things that we're going to have to do this week is go out and Justice Hill is a potential guy. Like, I can't believe I'm saying Justice Hill's an injury guy, especially with Kenyon Drake being the starter. Early on in the season, one snap for Mike Davis. You can cut Mike Davis. I'm not cutting Drake yet, unless it's like, maybe I'd cut Drake in like a 20 man, something like that. But I like in a safe leagues format, like I'm interested in just hanging on for another week and seeing what happens. Again, if he's another game day inactive, then I think we kind of know. We'll see the Justice Hill, but the fact that Justice Hill was actually active ahead of Kenyon Drake and played more snaps than Dobbins, I think is a notable feature of this game. So, again, I am floating Mike Davis back. I think Mike Davis is a cut as of right now. Okay, next up. By the way, Justice Hill, the snaps weren't totally useless either. 6 for 60. So, like, it wasn't like he was just sort of clogging stuff up. He actually had a pretty good performance. So, for what that's worth, I think he does warrant some attention on the waiver wire. Nothing big, just sort of, a couple percentage points here or there of your budget. Okay, Buffalo, only 12 snaps for James Cook. Ran 7 routes and 5 targets. So some schemed up stuff. He's becoming more frequent. The running backs had 16 of the 57 targets in this game. So again, I think that this is something that they want to do. And like we've seen them consistently go there. This is probably the best single passing game of Devin Singletary's career. And 45 routes, 9 receptions, 78 yards, 1 touchdown, 10 targets. When I say it's not even close, like, it's not fair to, like, this game to even compare it to the rest of his career, because he's been horrible the rest of his career as a receiver. Like, this is a incredible bounce back performance here for him. Even still, like, when you look at his performance so far, even with this big game, like, he's 30th in running back yards per route run. He is actually, I'll say this incredibly, he was like the worst pass catching running back in like PFF grade last year. It was 42.3. He had his yards per route run was 0.61. On his career, he's a 0.77 guy. And that does include this year, but 1.11. Again, if he's going to sort of be in that range of, hey, we're going to play, you know, something like, something like half or more of the routes, and he's going to be the lead ball carrier, like, he has a chance to be in the top 20 of running backs. I'm not sure how much this is going to stick up with James Cook sort of lurking and you know, sort of being around. But Singletary is running back 22 on the season, 12.1 points per game. Like, I think he can sort of, if he's going to continue to play in this receiving centric role and James Cook's not going to eat into it, he can continue to do that. I just don't think he has the history has shown us that he doesn't like, this is not something that I would bet on continuing. So that's, I'm a little skeptical of this going sort of the distance. He's ran 95 routes with a really good PFF grade. He has not had anything resembling green. Like, there, but for what it's worth, the codes on the PFF grades are different colors. So green's good, red's bad, and like yellow and orange are in the middle. He has had nothing remotely close to green through 2 years. And now he's like bright green. So, through 3 years, he was yellow and orange. So this is a notable departure. So we'll see here going forward what he has to, how much of this role continues. But color me skeptical of him going forward. And again, now you're going to start to get into the range of Jamal Williams playing ahead of him and stuff like that on your roster. So I think actually as the season goes on, a guy like Singletary is probably less valuable because you can potentially play more and more injury away guys. Okay, Carolina, McCaffrey, 25 carries, 108 yards, 2 for 7 in the passing game. I don't know what's going on with this offense. 7 snaps for Chuba Hubbard, 4 for Deonta Foreman. I don't know if there's enough. Hubbard saw 3 carries to Foreman, 0. Foreman ran 4 routes to 2 for Hubbard. I think Hubbard's maybe a waiver wire monitor would sort of be my thought, maybe in like 28 man or something like that. If you're sniffing around sort of the, crafting the back end of your roster and there's not usable guys, maybe a guy like Hubbard's a proactive add. But I think that the situation is an injury away, probably a mess in the event that McCaffrey gets hurt. And I'd actually rather take a shot on Craig Reynolds in Detroit. We'll get there in a minute. Chicago. Matt Eberflus says the prognosis of David Montgomery is good and that he'll be day-to-day with a lower leg injury. Dr. Chow says high ankle. We know from experience that the high ankle actually swells up the next day and the day after. So, like, you can come out of sort of a Sunday game and say, oh, you know, it's, he's feeling good, like, day-to-day. Like, he'll be back, like, not a big deal. And then the next day, wake up, and it's a total S show, a swelling and all that stuff. So pay more attention to what happens this week, but I wouldn't expect him. I think Khalil Herbert's going to have a potential spot start here for this week. Tristan Ebner is the guy that's the backup guy. I think keep an eye on this team, maybe bringing guys into work out. That'll be a signal on Montgomery. Darrington Evans is on the practice squad. You know, Ebner's maybe a guy that you in that sort of monitor 28 man. Let's see what Montgomery does. Like, maybe he's worth a proactive add, the fact that maybe you could get a spot start or something like that if we think it's going to be a multiple week injury for Montgomery. But Khalil Herbert, the clear injury away guy to Montgomery, the next man up would be behind Herbert. 20 carries, 157 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 receptions, 12 receiving yards for Herbert. Just a really dominant game. Again, he has not started a game and is ahead of Jonathan Taylor in points, so notable. Again, he might be like, they're so run heavy, like he can actually get the volume to be a pretty good producer in a game. All right, Cincinnati, Perine actually led the team in yards with 9 carries for 47 yards. It was Mixon actually 12 rushes, 24 yards. Zach Taylor said after the game that Mixon's ankle was, quote, a little sore, end quote. That's why they ran Samaje Perine more late in the fourth quarter. So for what that's worth, Perine played 23 snaps, 45 for Mixon. Mixon ran 26 routes to 7 for Perine. Again, they split that running back, the carries, a load there. So just a monitor on Mixon's health status for this week is the thing there. Chris Evans is not involved in this offense. So this is a, you know, if Mixon were to go down, Chris Evans is an add, maybe he's an injury away guy, but he is not a threat at right now to any job that Perine would inherit if Mixon goes down. All right, Cleveland, Chubb is the running back 1, 23 of 35 carries. He's the clear runner. Notably, I think he has upside in the passing game usage because it really fluctuates between basically 2/3 for Hunt to even. Like, that's kind of where it lives. And if that's going to be the case, like, I think that there is some opportunity there for Chubb to, you know, in the event that Hunt goes down, like, that's kind of a good indicator there that they're not just taking the passing game stuff away from Chubb and that Chubb can consolidate that role. But again, even if he just helps a couple of points a game, that can really lift his ceiling a little bit higher with him being, you know, one of the best, if not the best running back playing in the NFL right now. Denver, again, this, if I don't have to talk about this game anymore, I got to figure out a way to not talk about it. Cause frankly, it wasn't pretty. It was actually Melvin Gordon getting the rushing touchdown there. 15 carries for Javonte Williams, 12 for Melvin Gordon. They split the routes between the two of them. Like, this is just incredible. They ran 26 routes on 40 dropbacks, and between the two of them had 11 targets. It's just a huge opportunity there for this backfield to, again, the system isn't great. Their production isn't great, but the volume in the passing game is enough to, like, kind of buoy them up a bit. So I think it's pretty clear, like, there's not a ton else in the passing game to really siphon it away from them either. Like, they don't have tight ends they trust. I don't think that they have anyone, like, they have Sutton to trust in the passing game. We'll see with Judy sort of how much they trust him. He had a big drop in this game. 6 targets on 30 routes, so 20% is it's okay. So we'll see here what this offense continues to look like, but I don't see a clear way that they take away what this offense has in terms of running back opportunities. So, again, if either one of these guys is injured, the other one becomes a pretty high-end running back 1. All right, Detroit, this is pretty notable. Swift running routes, 19-7 in favor of Williams, actually, on the ground, though, right? So Swift ran 23 routes to Jamal Williams is 10, but Jamal Williams actually out-snapped DeAndre Swift and out-carried him 19-7. 4 targets for Swift, 2 for Jamal Williams. Swift appears to have suffered an injury, which may keep him out. It's a shoulder deal. So again, we'll see there. We've seen that guys like Dalvin Cook play through these sorts of things. Again, I'm not going to play doctor on DeAndre Swift's shoulder or anything like that, but instant reports, or the reports Monday morning, have suggested that it's a week to week type deal. So Jamal Williams is going to be a potential running back 1 type spot start guy. Again, he is a top 10 running back through 3 weeks. Is that sustainable? Like, he was actually there last year, which is kind of crazy. Like, he was up this high sort of last year too. And then there was some injury stuff, but we're going to see, like, this when we get the full expected points in for this week, like, this backfield is good, and they're playing Seattle, who I think that they can run on. So, they I think can run on that defense. So we'll be interested to see sort of what this looks like, as what the absence for Swift looks like, but Jamal Williams, running back 7 on the season, can really consolidate this job. He's playing goal line. They split the 2-minute drill. DeAndre Swift's playing basically the third down role. It's Jamal Williams playing short yardage, Jamal Williams on early downs. So it's really Swift playing third downs and Jamal Williams doing a lot of the other stuff. So at least the majority of it, Swift's involved for sure. But it works out to 35 plays for Williams by himself, 30 for Swift, and then they actually split a couple of plays, it looks like, there. So, again, I think Craig Reynolds is an interesting guy as an injury away guy. Now, I get the sense this is a multi-week injury for Swift, and if that's the case, I think Craig Reynolds warrants a potential add here. Just because, again, if he gets a spot and start, like, this backfield's good. Like, this backfield, they have done a good job of scoring points. That was true last year. It is true this year again. So, so this will be a good opportunity for to add someone again. If you're thinking about cutting a guy like Darrell Williams, Craig Reynolds is a guy I'm picking up. Total split between Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. 39 snaps for Jones, 33 for Dillon, 22 routes for Jones, 14 for Dillon, 4 targets for Jones, 3 for Dillon. They each had 12 carries. It's kind of felt like a slap boxing match between these two guys, or between Tampa and Green Bay. We'll see. I think there's better days to come. I think that Tampa defense can still play. I'm just holding people, holding really their offense in that game, which is kind of wild. All right, Houston, but I'm not concerned about either of these guys going forward. I think they're both in your lineups. Jones, I think, has a higher ceiling than Dillon does in any given week. Okay, Houston, Pierce played 35 snaps, only 24 for Burkhead. It's 20 carries and 80 yards for Damian Pierce, only 3 carries and 9 yards for Burkhead. Pierce actually has the touchdown. Burkhead was 9 for 9 on third down snaps, 6 for 6 on 2-minute drills. Pierce is doing the early work, the goal line, and the short yardage. I have concerns about a ceiling without that passing game role. And again, I think Burkhead, if Damian Pierce were to go down, Burkhead can consolidate all that role. And actually, like, this is going to sound crazy, could actually be one of the more consolidated injury away running back spots, kind of like we see with like when Madison sort of gets all that snap share. If Dalvin Cook's out, we could see that with Burkhead. So I'm still holding him as an injury away guy. I kind of dig it. And Houston's feisty. Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor, top 10 running back through 3 weeks. You'll take it, I guess. You would hope for more, but here he is. He actually ran more routes, 26, than Nyheim Hines, 22. I don't think Nyheim Hines is super dependable. 5 for 23 at this point. So that's 7 points in a PPR format. That's not really what you're, and again, he's being out route run by Jonathan Taylor. That's not really what you're looking for out of the passing game for Nyheim Hines. So I'm tending away from him. And again, I think he fits more to me as an injury away guy than I feel comfortable with him in a flex spot right now. Especially as some of these injury away situations pile up, guys like Nyheim Hines get phased out a little bit in your lineup decisions. Jonathan Taylor, 21 carries for 71 yards. And he added 3 for 20 in the passing game. Thank God, because that would have been a single digit game for him. The ceiling from last year is just not there yet. So we'll see as we go along again. I think their offensive line's not as good. Like, they have some concerns with this offense. And again, I think we kind of see what has happened with them. Like, their best players aren't at premium positions. And when that happens, like, you can be, it's like having a bunch of good point guards in the NBA. Like, that's great, but like, you need wings. Like, you need guys that can rebound. You need guys that can guard the other guy's best player. Like, just having a bunch of guys that can sort of be the point guard is nice, but you need wings in today's day and age. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing with Indy. It's a capping situation for them. Jacksonville, James Robinson is set out to destroy any narrative that you can draw about the Achilles. The Achilles team is actually pretty good this week. So a 100-yard game and a touchdown for James Robinson. Actually, Akers led the Rams as well. We'll get there in a minute. But team Achilles repair is fighting back against some of the myths and stuff, right? So we've seen in other places, like – I don't know. I don't like. I don't think it's. I don't think that the running back position in the NFL is so novel as to say like we can't go out and look at other positions or to even look at other sports and say, all right, can this technology nowadays actually be better for an Achilles than it maybe was 15 years ago? Like, are those 15 years ago comps any good anymore? And hell, we've seen guys like Demaryius Thomas, for example. Like, we've seen Kenny Ngannou go and blow up the combine with an Achilles tear. Like, we have seen these guys actually do, you know, Kevin Durant, right? So the fact that, again, a limited sample size of the running backs haven't performed well, but I really only think, like, there's a couple of them in there that were really expected for a lot of production, like Beanie Wells being one of the guys. Like, you would have thought that he would have been kind of on the best arc of the career from those guys that were really that suffered those injuries. But even like, you know, even a day two guy, right? Like, he's still a 50-50 coin flip, right? Like, you know, and you can look at you know, you can like, there's a lot of stuff in there that I don't like. There's a good chance that he missed anyways, right? So you know, so I don't draw a super big conclusion about it, but I think James Robinson's definitely looking spry and has to have us reevaluating sort of what we think about these guys going low. I do think there's a buy low window for Travis Etienne. I'm not running scared. Like, this one's incredible. Etienne, Kenneth Walker, and Velus Jones for Dalvin Cook, Chase Edmonds, Alec Pearson, a third. I mean, that's just running terrified. Etienne and Ty Chandler for Jahan Dotson and Tyquan Thornton. I think that's a good sell high on Dotson, actually. I would look for something other than Chandler, like, in that deal. But again, I think I'd rather, like, I think Etienne, maybe you can get a little bit something more certain for Dotson, but I think Etienne, like, that's still not that expensive for him. This one's just, like, this one makes me feel bad. Fields, Etienne, and Alan Lazard for DeAndre Swift on a third. Like, that's something you do, like that's the night out, like, bender before you have to go to rehab. Like, that's a, like, you help, like, you really misevaluated your team construct going into the season when you now come out after week three and are selling low on Etienne, selling low on Fields, and trading him for DeAndre Swift. Like, you really messed up an opportunity there. You had to go up at the quarterback position. Like, that's a sign of some poor offseason decisions right there. All right, let's move on instead of talking about people that made mistakes in trades. Kansas City, it's a bit of an S show. Like, I can't believe this fact I'm going to say out loud. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is running back 3 on the season. Again, that's pending Monday Night Football, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire is running back 3 on the season. He had 7 carries and 0 yards in week 3. He's running back 3 on the season. McKinnon outsnapped him, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is running back 3 on the season. Each had 7 carries. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 5 targets on 17 routes, only 1 target on 21 routes for McKinnon. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a running back 16 start rate this week. It's running back 3 on the season. I do think McKinnon does elevate above Pacheco. So that's something I did, you know, I put a tear breaker in there in the injury away sheet in that, because I thought that that's is a change. Again, I think McKinnon's rostered probably amongst basically all of our leagues, but I do think he's the primary injury away guy where I thought it would be a little bit more of a split early on in the season. Austin Eckler is running back 13 on the season without a touchdown. He leads the league in running back receptions. He's running routes, but only 26 of 47, which I think is not great. He's running, like, he's getting targeted on a good percentage of them. 8 of 8 targets on his 26 routes this week. That's a good number. But the offense is really sputtering, and especially the running game. Sony Michel led the team in carries with 5 to Eckler's 4. I mean, just, that's a sentence right there. Just not getting it. So hopefully this offense comes back around a bit. Hopefully we get some performance. I don't think they're optimizing Herbert. I don't think they're optimizing anyone. But part of it is the fact that Herbert's hurt, I think. So we'll see how this goes. But I think if people are going to bail on Eckler, and you might find yourself in a situation where the Eckler GM is actually going to bail because Eckler hasn't sort of lifted him up. And, you know, maybe they thought, hey, I'm a contender this year, I'm not going to sell. And now they sort of find themselves, you know, they might find themselves 1-2 and, you know, in sort of a troubling place. I think if you're in that spot, Eckler is, you know, I think Eckler is a guy that you could potentially try and add here. And I, listen, they're going to have to go back to really what works, which is featuring him in the passing game and giving him some more volume. I get why they're doing it, but they can't sort of try and preserve him for the entire season if they don't get to the playoffs. Like, they need to win games now. So I'm hoping that that'll come back a little bit more. All right, Rams, Akers, 12 carries on 61 yards and a touchdown. Again, team Achilles. Henderson, 4 carries, 17 yards. Henderson ran 3 times the routes as Akers, 15 routes for Henderson to only 5 for Akers. They split 25 plays for Henderson, 23 for Akers. Again, that's a low number, by the way. So it's that 48 snaps is really low for the Rams. I think I mentioned it in the tight end show. Akers getting the early work. Almost 2-1. Darrell Henderson actually getting the goal line stuff. Darrell Henderson getting third down. Darrell Henderson getting 2-minute drill. So Akers is basically is kind of your Ronald Jones profile at this point. He's basically kind of a sexier version of Ronald Jones. Again, I would more treat both guys as kind of injury away running backs as I would you know, either one of them being a starter at this point. Again, you might be. I think your decisions based on lineup construction is kind of your bet on what the game script is for a particular game. If you think it's going to be high scoring, you think they're going to be down, that's more of a Darrell Henderson game. If you think they're going to be up and sort of clock killing like they were against Arizona, that's more of a Cam Akers game. All right, Vegas. Josh Jacobs was 13 for 66. He added 5 catches for 31 yards in the receiving game on 5 targets, so he caught all of them. Played 45 snaps to Brandon Bolden's 25. 28 routes to Brandon Bolden's 19. I moved Brandon Bolden up to being the injury away guy because I was uncertain about it earlier on, but I think that this gives us some pretty clear indication. Again, maybe if Jacobs were out or something like that, we would maybe see an active Zamir White or something like that. But as of right now, I mean, Bolden's really the only other guy in the backfield getting snaps, so I'm putting him at the injury away guy, and I think maybe gobble up some potential shares of him. So that would sort of be my thought there with Brandon Bolden at present. Miami, tough backfield to trust. You know, it's this game was, again, this felt a little Rams-ish because the Bills just had the ball forever. Edmonds got the goal line. Mostert had 18 to 10 early down snaps. 3 targets out of the 3 targets in the backfield. Mostert 13 routes to 8 for Edmonds. Again, I don't have a good feel on this. It was Chase Edmonds scoring 2 rushing touchdowns, but again, that's 6 carries on 21 yards. Like, I don't have a great feel for that. He had 5 goal line carries. He's handling goal line. They're splitting third downs. The short yardage is actually Mostert. And Mostert's playing more snaps. So I don't have a great feel on putting anyone in a lineup in a given week. Maybe if one of the guys gets injured, you could see the situation consolidate. But as of right now, I don't feel a ton of comfort in it. Dalvin Cook, subluxation in his shoulder. Should be able to play with a harness in London is the report out. But again, I'd monitor that and we'll see. Notably, he didn't have his shoulder repaired after doing this last year. So they say that there's probably actually not additional damage, and this is just going to sort of being a recurring issue. It's a game, it's an in-game concern about, you know, about durability, but I guess it's not like a long, like it's not a, you know, it's not something that's going to keep you out multiple weeks. So, something new you learn every week. I wouldn't want to learn the receiving end of that pain, but, good luck to Dalvin Cook sort of playing through that with the harness. Ramondre Stevenson played 41 of 66 snaps. Only he and Harris played. Running split was 2-1 for Stevenson. I'm most confident in Stevenson at the present, but I think he's more of a flex play in comfort. Again, you're going to play guys like Jamal Williams in front of him. You know, and if Hoyer's going to play, like, gosh, this could be a tough offense to watch. So not a ton of confidence there, although they did go 28 for 145 in the running game with 3 touchdowns. So Mac Jones actually added a rushing touchdown as well. So interesting there for a guy who, on 5 carries, who wasn't a particularly highly thought of athlete coming out of college. Again, 15 yards long, so interesting stuff for Mac Jones. I know this is the running back portion of the show, but of the week, but Mac Jones adding some rushing stuff there as well. Okay, Kamara back, 15 carries, 22 routes, 6 targets. Ingram played as a second back. No Tony Jones. I think that's notable. Potential to float Tony Jones back in like a close roster situation. I think if we get news that DeAndre Swift is going to miss time, I think I'd rather have Reynolds than Tony Jones. It would be what I would think at this point. Because I think that, you know, there's probably still an Ingram-Tony Jones split, and I think that this is probably evidence of that. So that would sort of be my spot there. Again, I feel confident with Kamara in lineups, running back 1-2 range there, you know, and he's going to be up there for start rate anyways. All right, the Jets. This could potentially be trending towards Hall. He's playing ahead of Carter. Carter was 26-17 in early down snaps, but Hall is handling short yardage and third down. There's a split in the two-minute drill. Hall went 8 for 39 on the ground. Carter went 11 for 39 on the ground. Hall led the team with 11 targets and went 6 for 53. Hall ran 31 routes to only 21 for Carter. So, again, it's a split. But I think that this is trending in maybe a little bit better direction than we felt like for Hall going forward. Again, we felt like him last week, I should say. You know, he is right now running back 16 on the season. Carter is actually 26. So, and I believe Carter's 26 without a touchdown. Hall is 16 with a touchdown. So they're basically about the same in terms of points per game if you exclude Hall's touchdown. Philly, this is, I think, a spot where maybe you could float Boston Scott back if you have him. 16 carries to only 15 carries for Sanders to only 3 for Gainwell, 2 for Scott. So that's basically 75% of the workload going to Sanders this week. He ran 19 routes compared to 17 for Gainwell and 4 for Boston Scott. So this is trending towards Gainwell being the injury away guy, the prioritized backup. We shall say, behind Sanders at this point. So I'm willing to float Boston Scott shares back in an attempt to optimize the roster. Again, I don't feel super confident about Miles Sanders at this point. He just struggles in the point scoring aspect of being a running back. Jalen Warren, clear injury away guy, just enough to be a pest behind Najee Harris. 12 of 59 snaps. So. Najee Harris so far on the season is at running back 18. He has one rushing touchdown, one receiving touchdown, 3.2 yards per carry. So, again, when you're thinking about trying to improve your running game, adding a running back typically isn't what does that. And I think maybe this is a good example of that for future teams looking to invest in a better running game. Drafting a running back doesn't typically do that for you. 15 for 56 on the ground for Najee Harris. Again, he gets a touchdown. 4 for 30 for Jalen Warren. Maybe he adds an additional element in this backfield. That could be something we watch for going forward. I still think Harris is, he almost by definition has to be up in like the top 6 position, like even if he's sort of struggling a bit. You know, but we'll sort of see. We'll get a recalibration here in a couple of weeks, and you know, let's get, before we start making huge changes or anything like that, I'd like to anchor for the first month or so to really what our preseason priors were. Again, and we see fluctuations in there and whatnot, but I think this offense is sort of struggling post Ben, and I think Najee Harris is getting a little bit of that. So, all right, San Francisco here. This is a clear, I think there's some clear takeaways here. 41 snaps for Jeff Wilson. They played 56 snaps total. 41 for Wilson, 5 for Jordan Mason. So that's about as consolidated as you'll ever see a job for a San Francisco running back. 19 routes for Jeff Wilson, 3 targets for him, 12 carries. So that really does sort of point to a consolidated role. He goes 12 for 75 on the ground, 3 for 31 through the air. So over 100 total yards on 15 touches. Like you'll take that, right? You'll actually take that without a touchdown. You'll take a 13-point game. So that's basically where he's at. Again, I think that this is kind of the Alexander Mattison theory, but basically. you know, like a 6-step process to that. Like there's injuries all along the way, like they cut Sermon, like they lost TDP, like they lost guys, and now you're sort of seeing the gap between Wilson and the running back two really open up, and you're seeing him sort of consolidate that role. So notable there. Penny's still the starter in Seattle, 14 for 66 was his workload here. I'm just want to check the Walker did play 3 carries, 19 yards, 21 yard long run, but this really hides like how good he's been. He's really good through 2 weeks of playing, and he was out week one, only 7 carries so far, but he has 7 forced missed tackles on 7 carries. His yards after contact, 34. His total yards on the season, 29. So being met in the backfield, like a pretty good performance here for him so far. By the way, like again, super slow, super low sample size here, but 6 targets as well, 9 routes. So he's actually seeing 2.11 yards per route run. Again, that's super slow, super low sample size. But I would note he's like checking a little bit of box, like, hey, can he catch the ball? And we're seeing a little bit of yes, like we have some confirmation of that. So is it great? No. But is it, do we have some optimism about how he's doing going forward? I do. So this is, I think, shown, you know, and we see this. What do we see? Kind of day two running backs, middle of year one, right? And so I think if there's some buy low opportunity for Kenneth Walker, I'm interested because he's shown enough that he can hang. He's not going to just sort of flunk out of the NFL. Again, yards after contact per attempt, 4.86. Just a beast. He's just a beast. So I'm interested in him at his if it's a discounted sort of concerned selling price for your league mate. Tampa Bay, all Lenny, 59 snaps to 6 for Rashad White. White ran 5 routes on 6 snaps. All Fournette, dominant work share, running back 20 without a touchdown. Feels like his system, his production should get better. So again, I'm bullish on Lenny going forward. Derrick Henry with 20 carries for 85 yards and a touchdown. He actually caught 5 balls for 58 yards, and that was on 15 routes. So notable there for him in terms of some unexpected receiving production. The yards after contact per attempt are up a little bit. You know, he's still not breaking tackles at that high of a rate. So, you know, it's a little bit, it's better than it was week one, you know, early on. He was actually better this week. He broke 3 tackles and 21 carries. So, again, but it's down from sort of his 2020 production. So just notable there that, like, I think we are confirmed on the backside of Derrick Henry's career. And, like, I think maybe really rounding, instead of rounding the turn, I think we're deep into, you know, we're well past amen corner in terms of where he's at in terms of his production, because it's a definite downtick in his production. Hilliard playing at a Haskins without a touch. That's basically where you're at. All right, last but not least, the Washington football team, the Washington Commanders. Bad performances for them this week. It is Antonio Gibson, 34 snaps to 41 for J.D. McKissick, 31 routes for McKissick to only 16 for Gibson. A lot of this stuff was like junk garbage time. 8 targets for J.D. McKissick, 12 carries for Gibson. Again, if there was thought that maybe Gibson's going to take over the passing game role, probably not so when it's like pure backup stuff, right? So pure, whether that's just pure, you know, garbage time stuff or whatever you want to call it, you know, pure and, you know, pass, get out there and sort of run it. But I think that you can use him in the passing game as sort of some schemed up stuff. But they have shown a pretty consistent trend of not being interested in using him on 2-minute and that sort of stuff. That's a McKissick role thing. So we'll watch that, and we'll continue to watch that going forward. But that'll pretty much do it. Again, I think McKissick's probably not really in your lineup considerations super much. Like, I'm not super enthusiastic about that at present. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Running Back, the Injury Way the running back rundown here, focusing on your injury away guys and the running back position in general. So that'll do it for this edition. Till next time, continue raising the variance. We'll talk again very soon.